if you have your Bibles, please turn with me today to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, it's just amazing. The praise that we've had this morning is just so enlightening and just gets you in that presence. Amen? And it's just so powerful. And His presence just means so much to us and in our hearts. And you know, the word is one thing, but song and praise to Him is another when you lift your hearts up to praise. And it's amazing. This morning, we're going to continue our study in new directions. Last week, we looked at the gate of refuge in which we run to Christ for safety and find refuge in Him. And once we're in there, we need to stay there and not step outside of that gate, because once we're outside of that gate, we're vulnerable to whatever awaits us, the blood avenger, the enemy, whatever it is. So it's important to stay in Christ. And this morning, I'd like to continue our series in new directions by speaking to you about growing in Christ and understanding what God has given us in order to grow in Him. You know, during way back in Super Bowl 37, you know, Super Bowl's coming up pretty soon, but in Super Bowl 37, FedEx ran a commercial that kind of spoofed the movie Castaway, if you remember that movie, in which Tom Hanks, he played a FedEx worker and whose company plane went down in the ocean, and he leaving him stranded on a desert island for many years. And in the commercial, looking all raggedy, like the Tom Hanks character in the movie did, the FedEx employee in this commercial, he goes up to the door of a suburban home and he knocks on the door with his FedEx package in his hand. And the lady comes to the door and explained to her that he survived years and years on a desert island. And during that whole time, he was able to keep this package just to her and deliver it. He wanted to make sure that whenever he was rescued, he could deliver it to her. In which she responds with a simple, "Thank you." But out of curiosity, he said, "What was in the package that was that I was protecting all those years for you?" He says, "If I may ask, well, what was in the package after all?" And she says, "Well, oh, nothing really." She says, while opening it up and showing him the contents of the package, she said, "There's just a satellite telephone in here, a global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds." So, you know, like the contents of that package, the resources and growth for every Christian that gives us strength is available to us, those who will take advantage of it. And there's something that makes a plant grow, and I'm not a botanist by all means, but if you look it up, in every plant life, in whether it's a tree or a flower or a bush, there's something called the meristem, or the meristem line. And the meristem line is in every living tree. It's in every living plant. And usually is at the base of it, where it kind of goes into the ground, where it receives the nutrients and it divides parts of that nutrients to cause the tree or bush or whatever it is to grow upward. And it also relates the nutrients that it receives as well, those that will relate to the tree growing downward. And if you look close enough at a plant, and sometimes you can see it, many of you will probably Google it on your phone what it looks like, but it sometimes looks like a knot. Sometimes it's a different color in the tree, or where you, if you would cut it down, if you would look in the bark, you would see a different maybe color, a line that runs through the fibers. And that's where the decision is made at this particular spot in the plant, where the plant takes the nutrients that it's given and determines how it's going to use this. Cause the nutrients to go up, or to cause them to go down, to cause them to go high, or to cause them to go low. But the decision is made at the meristem line. And what's interesting about the meristem line is that it's similar to the cells in our own body. The body basically makes its decisions from the cells and nutrients when an infant is inside of its mother. And the nutrients that's going to that infant's body is where the decision is made. And if it would make such a cell that's good for the heart or maybe another organ in the little infant's body, and that it's made at the stem cell line of our human body. That's where the decision is made, where this cell would be better for an eye or an ear or so forth. And there are cells sometimes that don't get identified, and they can become dangerous cells. And actually, the identified cells can sometimes even multiply into bad cells. which possibly could cause cancer, or if these cells are not directed or put in the right place in our body, some other form of disease or disorder. And so what I'm saying is simply this, that's how the body handles what it's given. And that's how a plant handles as well what is given, to determine what's good and what's bad. And that's where the decision is made. It doesn't have to say about particularly what nutrients it's given, but it does decide maybe where they should go, such as if a particular cell should go upward or downward. And the tree makes that decision at the meristem line, and the body makes that decision at the stem cell line. And it's a fascinating process if you think about how it works. And in our passage this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, it reads, "To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things?" In other words, the gospel is preached as a savor, a sweet smell unto life for those who are ready to receive that savor, and to those that are deaf that just can't quite take it or swallow it. In other words, some people can hear the gospel and take life, and their family's blessed, and they grow and they get strong in the Lord. And there are those of you that hear this morning that will hear the same gospel or the word preached, and it will do absolutely nothing for you. And it may be possible that some this morning are going through some hard times at the present, some hard circumstances. Because I've watched some of you go through circumstances as well as others. Whether it's the bereavement of a lost one that you love, or maybe a husband or wife, or maybe it's a cancer diagnosis, or some tragedy that happened, but you go through circumstances and you have to deal with them. And what's amazing is that people can either get better from it, or some people can get bitter from it. But it's all according to what they do and how they take it in. I mean, we can't choose everything that life will give us. But what I'm saying to you is simply this. It's not what happens to me, it's what happens in me that makes the difference. You're going to do something, you're going to go through some trials or do something or this, and they can either take you up or they can either take you down. They can either cause you to bear fruit upward, as it mentions in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31, or they can cause you to have roots that go downward into the ground. Rick Renner, he's a missionary, and he's an author from Tulsa, Oklahoma, tells about how his grandfather Miller lived on this large parcel of land, and it was located just outside of Tulsa. Right in the middle of his land was a small lake, which they called Dead Man's Lake. And they called it Dead Man's Lake simply because years earlier they'd found a dead body at the bottom of the lake. And the water in that lake was muddy red, like most ponds, small ponds and lakes here are in Oklahoma. Terribly dirty, because at the bottom of that lake bed was primarily composed of clay. And he said that he remembers fishing with his grandfather on the banks of that lake, and he's sitting there fishing, thinking with great distaste, thinking that we're actually going to eat this catfish that we pull out of this lake here. And that little lake was fed by a notorious little river that ran along their property line called Bird Creek. And not only Bird Creek was known for being muddy, but it's also known for its oversized water moccasins that the little river kept in it. And the snakes would slither over the branches, over the debris always floating in that little river. And the river was also close, like I said, run along across, close to their grandfather's property. And every time they went to their grandfather's house, grandmother's house, grandparents' house, they'd have to cross the bridge every time they went there. And almost every spring during tornado season, the waters of Bird Creek, whenever we'd have a big downpour, they would always rise up over and spill over. Those stinking waters would spill out of the banks of the river and flood the entire local area. And many of you who have large pieces of land can relate to that when rivers overflow and you see them out there. Those grimy waters would flood out of the banks into that little, out of that lake, and it would literally slime everything that was in the way there, the gunk and goo and stuff like that, the debris. But as a little boy, he thought it was fun, because what that meant is they got to get in their boat, pull the motor, and go tootling across the land and the highways and right up to their grandparents' front porch, where they found them always waving and smiling and waiting to get there. But when the waters receded, that's when the fun was over, because that meant it was time to get out there and clean the mess left by the flooding of the waters, all the nastiness. Everything in sight was slimed with filth by those rising waters and left over by that flood. And Renner says he always thinks about those messy floods during his boyhood times when he reads Hebrews chapter 12:15, which simply says, "See it to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by many of it being defiled." So it talks about the root of bitterness, roots of bitterness. And instead of letting them bear fruit upward, and even though you wouldn't want to choose that trial that's coming your way, since that's what life's giving you and God's allowed it to happen in your life, you have to make a decision at the spiritual meristem of your soul. And that decision says, I'm going to either let this take me up, or I'm going to let it take me down. I'm going to either let this make me better, or I'm going to get bitter from it. But the choice is yours, not God. The choice is yours on what you do with it. Problems are going to come our way, and our attitude is, what are you going to do with what life gives you? A lot of people, they go to church, and that doesn't mean that you're necessarily getting things out of it, because they go right back out and hit the trials of life and just become just as mean as people that they see every day that perhaps don't know Christ. Sometimes people are dispelled away from church from grumpy old church members because just things aren't going their way. But what are you going to do? Where are you going to send it? Send it up or down? Are you going to let it make you better or worse? I mean, you'll have 10,000 chances in your life to get better. I mean, somebody's always going to hurt you. Something will happen. Some disappointment will come. Some injustice. Something will happen in your life. And at that moment, at the spiritual meristem in your soul, you make a decision as to whether or not I'm going to let this grow into a root of bitterness, or I'm going to let it bear fruit. Because also in Hebrews 12:15, it says in that verse that many out of that root comes defiled. By it defiles many. So it just doesn't affect you when you get bitter. Not just at people as well, but sometimes at God. Some people get really bitter toward God. When something happens, such as a car wreck or some tragedy, and someone's taken from you, it's easy for that little root of bitterness to start springing up. And it can take you down. And I've seen people go through almost the same situations, and instead of taking them down into the roots of bitterness, they bear fruit upward. They grow deeper. They grow more deeper in God. And so the question is what are you going to do with what you have? Are you going to let it become some bad cancer cell to your soul? Or you can take that same circumstance and decide, if you'd like to make that a good cell, go into our heart. Like I said, the decision is yours. You decide. What I'm saying to you today is that in the Old Testament, God said to the tribe of Judah, the Assyrians are coming. That's just a fact. They're mighty. They're coming towards you. And they're going to decimate many of my people in this nation. And that's just the way it's going to be. Get ready for it. But he said there's going to be a remnant. A remnant, according to Isaiah 37:31, that will come fruit, and it will take you upward. The root and the roots that will take you downward, that will deepen your faith. And so there's a place in our soul where the spiritual meristem is, that resides there, that whatever's going on, you can use it to cause you to grow bitter, or you can take the fruits of it, the fruits of the Spirit, and grow better. Paul speaks of those fruits in Galatians 5:22, when the Spirit that grows upward. What fruit is that? The fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. God's saying that if you will allow these trials, these things that come your way, I'm not going to let you just go through it. Just to say, well, let's see how he pulls out of this one. And gain nothing from it. But out of it, he wants to take you upward. And to grow you upward. Instead of getting bitter and cynical and offended and hateful, you can let it take you up to produce love and joy, the fruits of the Spirit of peace and kindness and gentleness. Because that's when people watch you. They don't care about how you're blessed and everything's going your way and isn't God good. Now, they want to watch you when the fire's under you. And you can let it take you up and produce love and the fruits of the Spirit. When someone offends you, your natural response is, well, I'm not going to bless that person because you hurt me. You wounded my spirit. You just want to get them back. But when you decide to do so, if you're going to take the fruits of the Spirit and let them grow you upward, you'll develop those spirits where people can see it. Because what you see above the ground should be love. If your root system is going down, it's just a matter of time before your fruit starts bearing upward. And people can see that and enjoy that in your life. Did you know that it takes 1,000 hours of cold weather for a peach tree to produce fruit? And the reason there's so many peach trees in Georgia is because other places in the United States, most of the time, there's too many sunshine and warm days for that to happen. But in Georgia, there's plenty of cold weather days. In order to produce a fruit of peaches, there needs to be at least 1,000 hours of cold weather. Now, are you still interested in bearing fruit? Well, then the Holy Spirit, he comes along your way and he says there's going to have to be some cold days in your life. But it's out of the cold days, out of the cold days, that we begin to bear fruit upward. Have you ever seen one of those bonsai trees? Those little bitty things. It's like a miniature version of a full-size tree. They're kind of cute. But did you know that you can take any tree and turn it into a bonsai tree? Whether it be an oak tree or a pine tree or a blackjack even, I guess. But all you have to do is let it sprout from that seed or acorn or pine cone or whatever starts growing. And at the spiritual meristem line, there's cells that are sending nutrients upward and sending nutrients downward. And it's growing in two ways. And what they do is at a certain point is when they're growing these little trees, they take them out of the box as they're growing, and they get some shears, and they cut the roots of the tree, and they put it back into the box. And they keep trimming those roots for a while until it just grows to a certain height, and it doesn't grow anymore. And the bonsai tree is important because it doesn't die very easy. And applying that spiritually, it's not that we're just saved in our spirit. It's just that it never grows. It never gets any bigger. It never gets any deeper. It just seems to always want to stay dwarfed. Because the enemy comes along and he likes to snip our roots. And he's able to keep you where you are and you never grow. It's not that you're not saved. It's just that you never grow. And you never get into your own walk with God and deeper relationships and understanding the wonderful, abundant life he has. And all that it amounts to is that you're going to heaven and you're just sitting back waiting for that old glory train to come along so I can hop aboard. But you aren't fulfilling the purpose of what God has given you for your life. To shine brightly, created in his workmanship to do good on earth. God didn't give you abundant life to become a bonsai tree. Psalms 92:13 says that they're planted in the house of the Lord and they'll flourish in the courts of God and will be like one of those tall cedars of Lebanon and produce fruit even in our old age. That gives me hope. And this could speak of your relationship with God when you were born again. And I'm so glad there's many of you in here that were and are. But this isn't the end of your Christian walk. We don't have any Christian retirement homes. Jesus didn't die and he didn't bleed for you just so you could be saved and never produce any fruit and never have any roots of prayer Because that's the unseen part of our life that produces the outward fruit of our lives. Do you have a prayer life? Do you have life in the Word? Do you have something in you other than just when we're gathered here together on Sundays and Wednesdays? Because a tall tree, a secret to a tall tree is its unseen roots. And God told Judah, the tribe of Judah, He said, you're going to go through some trials. And when life gives you trials, and then they come, and life gives you trouble, you can either let it take you down, or you can let it take you up and bear fruit. But it's not God's decision, it's yours on what you do with it. I wish you didn't get that bad report from the doctor. I wish that circumstances didn't happen to your family or things of that nature. But what are you going to do with those since they're just part of life? Just have to say into our spirit that I'm not going to grow roots of bitterness, but out of this, the Father will make me more like Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect example of the fruits of the Spirit. And He illustrates that so well in the Word, because when they beat Him and they attacked Him, and Jesus turns around with blood dripping from His brow, and He states in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Praise be to God. The devil's got a lot of shears. The devil's got a lot of scissors, and he'll stop you from growing and bearing fruit upward. He can cut you off at the roots. He can let you get back into your spiritual comfort zone by sticking you back into your container, and then maybe pull you out at a later time once you think you're growing in Christ and snip them some more. Whatever life sends you, whatever, when it arrives at your spiritual meristem in your soul, somewhere deep inside you, and when something happens that you weren't planning on, that you didn't make a decision, you have to decide at that time, this is not taking me down. I'm going to go through it because God has allowed it, and I'll let the Holy Spirit that we sang about this morning produce in me, even in the cold days, fruit that I can't get any other way. But let it develop you. Bear fruit. Become stronger and not get offended as easy. What I'm saying to you is it's all in how we respond. Because there's two marks to a great person. Two marks. Number one is that they're usually givers. Great people are always givers. I've never met a person who's great that wasn't a giver. They just give of themselves. They give kindness. They give of their resources. They're just givers. And so if you want to be great, there's two marks to a great person. One is they're givers, and they give. And the second one is they forgive. The only way you're going to reach greatness in the kingdom is if you give and if you forgive. And not just to people that do you good. People that can pay you back or spot you once more and can return the favor. But even to your enemies who you could just crush if you have something on them. You could crush them. But you don't. You give and you forgive. Those are the marks of greatness. It's our attitude, not our achievements necessarily, that give us great joy and happiness. But it's our attitude. Because the same sun that melts the butter can also harden the clay. And I can become hardened, or I can become soft and tender and bear fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and suffering, long suffering. Or I can choose to get offended and become mean and angry and go around mad and go around like a victim all the time. But I've seen the same two people go through the same circumstance, and one gets bitter and the other one gets better. But it all happens at the spiritual meristem line of our soul. I like what Paul says over in 2 Corinthians 4:17. You flip over a couple of pages. It says, for our light affliction is for a moment. He worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight and glory. And then also over In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 20, it says that may Christ dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth. There's your roots downward. And the height, there's your fruit upward. All the fullness of God. And verse 20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work, where? Within us. In other words, God's exceedingly power that he has for us is waiting on the decision that we make at our spiritual meristem line. And when I decide with the right attitude that what I'm going through is not going to take me down, but it's going to take me up, I'm not going to grow these roots of rejection, these roots of offense, and these roots that make me angry at God so easy and bitter against God. Not a root of bitterness. We're not going to be bitter against people, but instead we're going to bear fruit upward, as it mentions in the Word. And he says, I'll do exceedingly and abundantly above all that can ask, all that we can ask, according to the power that works inside of us. So what you're going through right now, it'll either take you up or down. And God's word for you today is that there will not be any growth if you allow the enemy to do what he wants to do in your life. But when we instead, we submit to God and we say, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me as you will. And then he will make me like a tree planted in the water that extends its roots out to the stream, according to Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. And you won't fear when the heat comes, but it'll leave your leaves green, and you won't be moved, and you'll bear fruit upward. Think about your family tree for a moment, your family tree of faith. You know, the enemy necessarily can't do anything once you make a decision to be saved. But he doesn't want any of your children to be. Snip, snip, snip. I thank God for people like Kathy and Vern who understand that it's important to keep your children in church. Tim and Pam, keep the children in church. Drag them, bring them. Corey and Aaron, brings friends of little David. It's important to bring those children the church. Because when he does, it'll not affect your generation. When you decide to share your relationship with Christ and your tree starts to grow upward, but it'll affect your children's children. There's no doubt in my mind that the Spirit's talking to some today. Some, maybe you'd never ever dreamed of where you're at or what you go through. And the words for you today is it doesn't have to turn into bitterness or anger. But in that same situation that causes someone to go down, it can cause that same person to go upward instead, to bear fruit. Because Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for those that are called according to his purpose. And some of you here today may need to receive Christ in your heart. You've acknowledged him, but you've never actually invited him in your heart with your mouth. I'm not here to embarrass you, but at the same time, he never comes where he's not invited. Maybe some of you this morning are praying, I just need to be cleansed. I just need a soul cleansing. And that's wonderful. Don't talk yourself out of that today. Chains can break today and doors of prison can be, victory can be declared in your life by just opening them up. And you don't have to live in the past and always be subject to your emotions, but you can have new life in Christ and take on the power of the Spirit in your life. Your spiritual life doesn't have to be dwarfed by the enemy with your roots constantly being snipped. But the Bible says, there's a remnant, that roots will grow downward and fruit that will grow upward. And it all happens at your spiritual meristem. This morning, let's please stand. Father, we thank you this morning for your word in our life, for the power in our life that you give it to us exceedingly and abundantly, not just on an IV pole, one drip at a time, but it's all there for us, all that we ask for and need. All we have to do is submit to you. And for those who the enemy has calloused their spiritual minds and their eyes, thinking that they're not worthy of that, let that be dispelled today by repenting to you and say, Lord, I am yours. We love you and we praise your name, Father. This morning as the songs begin to sing, the Spirit moves and the altar is here for you this morning. Altar counselors, if you would come up, they're here to pray with you. They're here to pray for you. Anything in your life that you would like some encouragement for, we're here for you. But it all decides at the spiritual meristem factor of your soul, of where it's going to do. Is it going to take you down or is it going to take you up? As we sing, you come as the Spirit leads. So much for coming this morning. Oh, breaking every chain. I love that song. And you can break chains too. It all starts at the spiritual meristem where Christ is coming in your life. Make a decision to break those chains. Chains that maybe you've grown up with and have had those in your life since then of the way a certain thing should be. But God sincerely wants to work in your life saying, this is my direction for you. And let loose of those chains to grow. Father, we thank you so much for your abundant blessings that you give and your protection that you give us and the nutrients that you provide us on a daily basis that we're not even aware of. And we thank you for that this morning because you are a great God and we lift you up and we lift you up in praise today. And the Holy Spirit's always welcome here. And Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. Please be with us this week. Let us be lights to others. And all the church said, amen. God bless you all.